today as we come to the table.
Jesus said, you know what? You can do nothing apart from me. It took me a lot of years to really believe that and understand it. It's not that I didn't believe the word of the Lord, but I thought, well, certainly I can do something. I mean, I'll show up and I'll have lots of energy and I'll read the Bible and we'll do this, whatever, and things will happen. Here's what I've learned. It doesn't matter how much energy or what you can do or things that you produce or put on. If it's not done by the Spirit of the Lord, there is no lasting fruit. It may look like there's been something great that happened, but only lasting fruit will come through God working through the vine Jesus into the branches and working in our life and through ministry as He leads it, not as we lead it.
Too often, we think we can bring about the results God's looking for. Like somehow it's up to us, as if we have the strength and skill needed on our own so God can take a break. But when you really get down to it, our contribution to the task pales in comparison to God's. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark will encourage you today to take to heart what Jesus is telling us in the Gospel of John, because He is the source of life. He's the provider of any skill that you may need or want to claim for your own. He's the vine that you're supposed to be hooked into, and without Him, you'd shrivel up. So today, instead of trying to get through on your own, let the Holy Spirit direct your steps and guide your everyday conversations too. Well, let's dig into it. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, as Pastor Mark begins his message entitled, Jesus, Our Source of Life.
John chapter 15, verse 1 says this, Jesus speaking to His disciples, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, we find ourselves here as we look at Jesus, our source of life. We find ourselves today in the middle of Jesus' final night before His crucifixion, and He has just finished the Last Supper. If you remember there in verse 31 of chapter 14, He said, arise and let us go from here. And so that set the setting for where we left last time, that the Lord is about to leave there, and now they're about to travel down to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so this teaching that we're looking at today that goes on between here, these next couple of chapters, is the Lord teaching them as they're making their way down to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when they get to the Garden of Gethsemane at some point, and then we'll see the teaching breaks off and the Lord breaks off to pray and that whole process. But this is where we are. And there's no doubt as the Lord is walking, He's probably walking and teaching this, what we're going to be reading today, using the vineyards around them, using the visual symbols, which we'll talk about more in just a moment. But again, this is the place where Jesus will end up in the garden, where He'll be arrested. And now we see as He begins to head that way, He's going to use these analogies of the vine and the vineyard. And according to historians, there were many vineyards around there. Again, as I said, no doubt Jesus walking through a vineyard under the moonlight. as he's traveling down to the Garden of Gethsemane. Picture it in your mind. This was the non-rainy season, so it wouldn't have been cloudy. Maybe a spot cloud here and there, but it would have been clear and beautiful. The moon would have been absolutely full because this is the week of the Passover, and the moon's always full at the week of the Passover, the way the Jewish calendar works. And so the bottom line is they would have seen everything by moonlight. Very bright, very clear, the vineyards, the temple, everything around them as they're working their way down as Jesus was teaching them and using very literal, visible pictures to teach them some very important spiritual truths, which we will learn as well today. But the most important truth he's going to teach them that we need to learn today is this: he is our source of life. We're going to see again that scripture where Jesus said, you know what, you can do nothing apart from me. It took me a lot of years to really believe that and understand it. It's not that I didn't believe the word of the Lord, but I thought, well, certainly I can do something. I mean, I'll show up and I'll have lots of energy and I'll read the Bible and we'll do this or whatever and things will happen. Here's what I've learned. It doesn't matter how much energy or what you can do or things that you produce or put on. If it's not done by the Spirit of the Lord, there is no lasting fruit. It may look like there's been something great that happened, but only lasting fruit will come through God working through the vine Jesus into the branches and working in our life and through ministry as he leads it, not as we lead it, as he leads it. So even as the vine was the source of life for the branch, Jesus is our source of life. And everything needs a source of life, everything. As you know, they've been looking for life on Mars here recently. Can they find any life on Mars? And even wanted to move to Mars and put life there if there's not any there. And recently I was reading about a biology class where the teacher asked the students, they said, all right, here's your assignment. You've got to write down the answer and turn this in. If you could take anything from this lab, anything we have here, or whatever we have that you could take with you and go to Mars to do any kind of test that you could do, how would you determine if there was actually life on Mars? And when he received the papers back, he found that one student, always kind of a little smarty pants in every class, right? He picks up the paper and one of the students wrote on there, you know, how do I prove that there's determined that there's life on Mars? He said, first of all, ask the inhabitants. He said, even a negative answer would be significant. The teacher gave him an A because he was clever. But again, it's not only trying to find life, it's oftentimes trying to get the most out of life, trying to do what we can. Even as believers, we want the most out of life, and the world tries to find the most out of life as well. It was Irma Bombeck who said, pertaining to the sinking of the Titanic, she said, seize the moment. Remember all those women on the Titanic who waved off the dessert cart. Now, again, I know that's not really good to make a joke about the Titanic, but she's making a point. Life comes around one time, don't waste it. Make sure you grab all the gusto that you can in life and use it for God's glory. That would be for the believer in that sense. And now Jesus is going to tell them and us, you want life? But if we asked ourselves this morning, who in here wants life? I think we'd all raise our hand. We want life. You want life? It's Jesus. And for those of you that have tried to find life in other places, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It works for a little while. As a matter of fact, it's kind of thrilling for a little while. The Bible says fun is sin for a season. No, sin is fun for a season. The Bible says that. God doesn't pretend that sin's not fun. You see, God created all the pleasures, but these are just shadows of the true pleasures in heaven. The Bible says that at God's right hand, note this, for those of you that are trying to fill your life up with earthly pleasures, listen what it says. At the right hand of the Father are pleasures forevermore. And he says here, everything down here, note this, is but a shadow. That means any pleasure we seek down here is nothing. There's no drug, there's no physical thing, there's nothing we can do. It is nothing compared to the glory and the pleasures that await for us in heaven. And I mean that in a pure and holy way. Who knows what God has in store for us? It's going to be amazing. But we try to fill it up with earthly things, don't we? And the bottom line is, it doesn't work. It works for a while, and then we get empty again. And we say, is this all there is? This is it? This is all life has to offer? Why are we even living? Jesus is why we're living. And we're living to serve and love him. He is our source of life. Let's jump into it. Notice as he shares with them, as I said, probably the setting, they're walking down through the Garden of Gethsemane, the moonlight shining bright, probably walking through a vineyard or somewhere around one. And he says this, I am the true vine. I wonder if they're looking at one. He makes a point. It's me. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, there's a couple things to look at here. First of all, he refers to himself not only as a vine, but the true vine, or literally the genuine vine. And why? Because, again, in Scripture, Israel is referred to as the vine of God. Israel is referred to as a vineyard that's been planted, if you will. More of a, not the vine of God as much as a vineyard that's been planted. And what Jesus is saying is, it's not Israel that's your source of life. It's not the fact that you're God's people that's your source of life. It's not the temple that is your source of life. It's me. I'm your source of life. And if you want to live, you've got to be plugged into me and you've got to stay in me because my life's going to flow through to you as the only way you can get it. You can't get life by bypassing the vine if you're a branch. The branch can't say, you know what, I'm going to just skip this vine. I don't know that I like the vine that much. I'm glad it worked for all you other branches, but I'm going to try to get sustenance another way. You're going to die on the vine because you can only get your life source from the one that is the vine, and that is Jesus. And so he refers to himself as the true vine, the genuine vine, not Israel, not these other things. And again, this would have been something that would have made a great point to them as they thought about it and visualized these vines, if you will, seeing them quite literally and showing the connection here of Jesus to the Father is also important. He says, I'm the vine, but he's the vine dresser. He's the one that's going to be working in your life. He's the one that's going to be pruning and shaping and doing all these things in your life. So we work as a team. You're in us, we're in him. And remember, he had just shared that with them rather back in chapter 14. That is, we would say that the Father is the gardener, if you will. But there's something else that makes this very interesting to me. And I don't know whether or not they really would have seen it from where they were walking or not, but I know they knew what it was. And that is this. On the temple itself, when you walked into the temple, before you got to the door of the temple, you walked to these pillars that were on either side and across the top, and they were wrapped in this golden vine, this golden grapevine that had been purchased and made in Greece and shipped over for the temple. The historians record this. In the second temple at the entrance was this grapevine. Everyone knew about the vine. It was a beautiful ornament. It was something that even when you brought sacrifices there, they would sometimes put things on the actual vine to hold them. And this is what it says according to history, the Midot, which is the Jewish rules for norms of interpretation. Here's what it says in there about this golden vine in the second temple. It says, there was a golden vine that stood over the entrance of the sanctuary, trained over the posts, and whosoever gave a leaf or a berry or a cluster, that would be your first fruit offerings from the field, as a freewill offering, they brought it to the priest and he hung it there on the vine. So they literally would take offerings and hang them off those vines. But everybody knew about the vine. Everybody knew the beauty of the vine. And here's what's exciting to me is you have the vine and then right behind the vine, you have the door. What did Jesus just tell them earlier? He said, I am the door. If you want to get to the Father, you've got to go through me. Now he says, I am the vine. And they would have been thinking, wow, the vine. They might even have seen it in the moonlight. We don't know, as large as it was from where they were walking. But he goes, if you want to get into the presence of the Father, you've got to go through the vine and you've got to go through the door. And I'm both of them. I'm the vine and I'm the door. And there's no other way into the temple of God. We would say there's no other way into the presence of God except through that vine and through that door. And so again, all types of analogies and beautiful pictures being made in their mind as he's telling them this and just all they're thinking about. And he says, every branch in me, note that, I have that underlined, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, again, in a moment, Jesus will tell them, again, he'll deal with the whole issue of branches and being connected to the Lord. But again, we're going to see in this passage today, we're going to have some theological challenges. And in the midst of these theological challenges, I'm going to do my best to give you all the schools of thought and share everything that I can as far as what the scripture reveals, and then let God sort that out in your own hearts. But the good thing about teaching through all of the Bible line by line and verse by verse is you teach through all the Bible line by line and verse by verse. And that way you can't skip anything. You can't pick your favorite subjects and say, well, I'm not going to teach on that one. I'm not going to say, oh, they're here today. I'll skip that and teach on this. Oh, they give a lot of money. I can't talk about that. We'll teach on this. No, every line we come to, every verse we come to, we cover it. That's the good thing about it. The bad thing is oftentimes you come to things that are oftentimes challenging. And they're very challenging oftentimes theologically, and no doubt that will be the case for some of us today. So I will do my best as an honest expositor to lay out what the Bible teaches, what the Bible says, the different schools of thought concerning this issue, and then let God sort that out in your heart. But the first thing we need to note here is this. Jesus here makes it very clear that the branches he is speaking of are in him. Now, first of all, there's no way to be in Jesus unless you know him. You can't be in Jesus unless you are born again. You can't be in Jesus unless you are saved. There is no unbeliever that is in Jesus. It's only through repentance and being born again that we can be in him. And the Bible talks all through the scriptures about this, that we're in Christ and Christ is in us. We're one with him. We're disconnected from Christ until we're born again, and then we're in him. So we know from the context here, he's speaking of believers, that is those born again, because there's no other way to be in Jesus. Secondly, we need to note this, that Jesus would never expect any spiritual fruit from an unbeliever. You're not going to look at someone that's not a vine and say, "No, give me fruit. You're not part of the vine. Give me fruit." Well, that's an absurd request, because you can't give fruit unless you're in the vine and able to get that source and produce that fruit. So the first thing we have to note here is Jesus is speaking of the born-again believer. And notice he says, any branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now here's where the challenge begins. And there's going to be more than one challenge today. What does it mean, any Christian that does not bear fruit, he takes away? What does that mean? Well, we're going to examine that a little bit more in a moment. But before we get to that, I want to point out the fact here that he says about what those of us that are connected in the vine are supposed to do. Notice he says here that we will bear fruit and that we'll be pruned so that we can bear more fruit. That is, the Father's the vine dresser. They're the ones that would prune the fruit. Notice he says he takes the branch away. It's a pruning process. And the pruning process is that every Christian that bears spiritual fruit, the Father will prune or clip away areas that are not productive. Here's why: that more fruit may be born. That is, part of productivity is the flow that comes to us so that we can thrive. And anything that hinders the flow of God's Spirit coming through us is going to hinder our fruit bearing and our thriving. Now look, I'm not a gardener, so I'm not going to pretend to be. But I do, and I have, looked up what it is to garden. And I do know a little bit about the way that some people deal with tomatoes. And that is, a lot of times with tomatoes, they have toward the bottom of them what they call suckers. And they say they suck all the life out of the vine. And if you don't take them out of the part of the plant or whatever, then a part of the juices that would be going up to make these beautiful red tomatoes or yellow or whatever color they are is going to go to these little things that are pulling away the juices and make it not as productive. So what do? You break those things off and you get rid of them. And what it does is it allows more flow to go to the places that are healthy and can produce a better crop. That is you. That is you. That's exactly what the Lord is. What he's saying is this: look, there are things in your life, and some of you right now are probably going to be convicted as I share this. There are things in your life that are hindering you from producing the fruit that God wants you to produce, because it's sucking life out of you before it can get to the place it needs to be. And there's a lot of different things that can be. It doesn't have to always be something bad. There may be some freedom that you have in Christ. I'm free in Christ. I can do this. The Bible says I can. Yeah, you're right. You can. But is it helping your fruit increase, or is it holding you back? You see, sometimes it's better to give our freedoms up so that we can grow more in Jesus than it is to make some big stand about the freedoms we have in Christ. Listen, never let anyone take your freedoms. I would never take your freedom in Christ. We are not under the law. We are free in Jesus Christ. And anybody that tries to put you under bondage is not a true, faithful minister of the gospel. But at the same time, there are times when wisdom would say some of those freedoms you need to lay aside. There are things in my life as a pastor that I'm free to do. But I don't do it for your sake. Because some of you, your backgrounds that you came out of, if you saw me doing something that I took freedom in and you come out of a background where you were stumbling in it, what's that going to do for you? That's going to cause you to stumble. And if I love you, I'm going to lay it down. What did Paul say? Paul said this: they were buying meats from the false temples. There was nothing wrong in eating meat, but the meats had been offered to idols. They'd been offered to false gods. And so they were stumbled by that. Where did you get that steak? Well, I got it down there, the Temple of Aphrodite. Oh, the Temple of Aphrodite, that's a demon steak. Well, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I might be offended by my steak and whatever. Paul said, look, if you can eat your steak and nobody knows it and you enjoy your steak and you're free in Christ, that's fine. You got that freedom. But don't eat your steak to the expense of a brother that's going to stumble. And Paul went on and said this. He said, if my Big Mac causes someone to stumble. Now, that's in the Greek. If I go to McDavid's and it causes somebody to stumble, I'll never eat at McDavid's again. I'll never have another Big Mac. Guys, that's love. That's love. To be able to lay something down for the sake of others. And here's what happens. Not only do you help others grow, you're going to grow, because now those little suckers that are pulling all the life out of you, stuff in your life that doesn't need to be there, now you can grow and produce more, because it goes farther up the vine and you can produce more fruit. And it could be that God is convicting you right now of a lot of the energies that are going into your life or pulling away from things that God could do. And it could be, who knows what it could be. You could go all kinds of things. It might be old relationships. Maybe there's a relationship you need to break off. You know that they're not a believer, but maybe they'll get saved. God is saying, you know you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to be unequally yoked. You're draining the vine. You need to cut that off. But that hurts. You know what? Sometimes pruning is painful. But when God is the master gardener, he will only prune what will cause us to flourish all the more. And there'll be a much greater reward for you being obedient and letting God work in that area. It may be certain magazines. It may be certain movies. Yes, you're free in Christ. But there may be something where God is saying, you don't need to be involved in that. It's holding you back in your walk with God. What does it say in another place? Paul said, lay aside the weights that so easily hold you back. God wants us to be fruit-producing Christians. And we'll see in a moment, there's a progression to that fruit-producing. And so again, there's also slow, what's called low-hanging branches that get in the way as well. The vines will oftentimes have these low-hanging branches, and these low-hanging branches are so low, they sit there and they just lay on the ground. They lay in the dirt. They lay in the earth. They lay on the world. You get the analogy. That is, if we have low-hanging branches in our life, that we're just going to kind of keep a part of the world going. You know, just some low-hanging branches down here. We get a little bit dirty from time to time, but it's not really that bad. And I know the Lord, and I know I'm going to heaven or whatever. Listen, the problem is what happens to those low-hanging branches is they get diseased. And the disease would oftentimes move into the vine and then destroy the rest of the vine. If you allow this low-hanging branch to just play in the world and continue to let it go, you're going to get diseased from the world. And that disease is going to hurt your entire plant. It's going to hurt your entire productivity for the Lord. How much better to cut those lower branches off and say, you know what? Forget that. I'm branching out. I'm moving on in Jesus. I'm going to go to higher things, and I want God to flow through me. That's often what the Lord is waiting in many believers' lives. He's waiting on you to let him move more. But you're not allowing him to because you're holding on to these things that can be diseased and pull you back into the disease of the world. Notice what he says to them. He speaks to them. And again, kind of this picture of washing off the fruit so that it's usable and edible. Look at verse 3. He says, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. I've been teaching you for 3 years. I've poured in my water. The Bible says that we're cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. That is, God washes all the junk out of our mind from our past. As we spend time in the word and time in prayer, God cleanses us. And what Jesus is saying is, you guys have been cleansed. You've been washed off. And that's necessary in order for you to be usable for people around you, for the Father to use you as good fruit. You've got to be washed off. You know, I don't know about you guys, but maybe I'm probably the extreme on that. You go and buy fruit at the market. I don't care if it says pre-washed or not. Even these salads, that's pre-washed. Yeah, by who? I mean, I don't know what's, you know, but, you know, what does that mean? I think you rinse it off again, right? And I think that that's a wise thing to do, is be in that habit of cleaning the fruit. But then once the fruit is cleansed, it's ready to be used. He's going to make the point, yeah, you're already clean, but you need to produce even more fruit. And now you've got to be pruned, and you've got to be grown, and you've got to move to a whole new area here. And so the cleansing has taken place, but now the preparation for greater fruit has to happen as well. And Jesus giving them these final words, wanting them to grow before he leaves and to know how to grow. And look what he says in verse 4. He says, abide in me, again, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, the word abide is the word here in the language meno, and it means to remain in or stay in. To remain in or stay in. So what the Lord is saying is, you're clean, you're already in me, now stay in me. Stay connected. Stay in a place where fruit can flow from your life, where the juices from my vine can go into you, the branch, and you can be used. You see, in vines and in believers, both are non-productive if they're not constantly connected to the source of life. And Jesus, for us, is that source of life. So Jesus is saying we must abide in him. We must literally stay in him if we're going to bear any fruit. And yet, how many Christians simply wander off after a while, and they wonder why they're never used by the Lord?
Thanks for spending the last half hour with us at the table of God's Word. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of John next time, but you don't have to wait for our next episode to keep digging into the Bible. You can access more messages right now at PastorMarkKirk.com or subscribe to the daily podcast right from our website. And feel free to share these teachings with your friends or family members or someone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. The book of John is a great introduction to who Jesus is, and it might just be the conversation starter you've been looking for. That website again is PastorMarkKirk.com. Hey, are you listening right now in the Knoxville area? If so, we want to meet you. Here's Pastor Mark with a personal invitation.
Thanks, Greg. I want to let you know there's a seat waiting for you here at Calvary Knoxville. We've been here since 1997, and it's been an honor to see God do such incredible things in our fellowship and in this community. Come join us as we invest in God's Word and in each other. And yes, we're meeting in person. All our services and ministries are being held each week, but we're also streaming online for those who can't make it in person. You can find out everything by clicking on the Our Church section at PastorMarkKirk.com. I'm excited to see you this weekend, and I hope you'll join me again the next time we come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.